accession number 23438, rail 4.
Sheriff Shiwag, rail 4.
And they were stopping me from going to Hong Kong, but for the grace of God, my bones might be yellowing in some little jungle thicket on the peak, you know. I think that was it, ignominious, that I should be stopped from going to a place that I fought for. But I knew that had gone too far. So that same morning, I suddenly realized that my wife's brother-in-law was a minister for home affairs, Paul Challen. And he lived in Eaton Square, and I went straight to him. I rang up his wife, and he said, well, he's coming back for lunch. And you talk to him, and he was very understanding and supportive, said, I'll do everything I can. And then I start lobbying, and my wife's daughters, that's my daughter there, self-portrait, she's an artist, but she had a daughter by her first marriage, and her godmother was Fitzroy McLean's wife. When you see Fitzroy, Arnold Goodman was a lawyer to the Portman family, the daughter of the Portman family, was a great friend of mine. She took me for dinner at Goodman's house, and Goodman was advisor to Wilson on legal affairs. So a lobby sort of people started forming, because until then I was kind of much too shy. I was rather shy of bringing it up. I just suffered it in silence. But this time I went to town, and about 3 weeks later the phone rang, and an anonymous voice said, Mr. Shiwag, you've applied for British nationality 3 times and you have been refused. Well, this is the Home Office, and we're inviting you to apply for the 4th time. We're sending you all the documents, papers, and forms, which was a good sign when they invite you to apply. And so I filled everything in, and we were living in Wellington Square, and I was interviewed about 3 hours at a time by two men. One was a special branch. They both wore bowler hats, British Worms and Hush Puppies. And one was from MI5, and he was young, and he had kind of constipation rings on his eyes. He was a lump. He never said a word. The other guy was a total idiot, I'm afraid. But what was really horrendous, after 3 long sessions of being asked stupid questions, because I had nothing to hide, I mean, I'm squeaky clean, you know. If I hadn't had a Russian passport, this wouldn't have happened. It was knee-jerking, if you like. And just as he was leaving, he said, you have a daughter, haven't you? I said, yes. He said, we'd like to interview her. I said, my daughter's in boarding school. She's only 11 years old. He said, doesn't matter. Will you bring her here next Wednesday? And we want to interview her. Have you ever heard of an 11-year-old being interrogated outside of Nazi Germany and communist Russia? She was interrogated.
Were you present?
Yes. I wouldn't have allowed it otherwise. So we sat there. Camilla's a very pretty girl, and very bright. And she sat at the edge of the chair, and the guy softened her up. He said, your daddy tells me that you're very interested in ballet. She said, yes, yes, I've been doing ballet since I was 4, and I like painting too. And he drew her out and everything. And suddenly, he said, stopped, and he said, Camilla, is your daddy a good man? To which I replied, Camilla said, yes, of course he is. The next question, do you think your daddy is a suitable person to be awarded British nationality? And my daughter replied, well, he's waited long enough for it. Subsequently, I said to my wife, I said, thank God I paid her pocket money that week. She could have shocked me. So that, and then after very interesting episodes and so on, I got a letter after all the suffering that was inflicted on me, the ruining of my career and everything. I got a letter from the Home Office saying, about due consideration of the circumstances, the Home Secretary has decided to award you a certificate of nationalisation upon the payment of a cheque of £20.
Do you think Paul Channon had a big influence?
I think it was a lot of people all chipped in. I went to all the right people, all the people that I knew, and you know, for being spied on, the amount of money they must have spent on spying on me, for what? I mean, in America, in France, this would have been inconceivable. You fought for us during the war, you are a citizen.
So was it just the fact that you had a Soviet passport, or was there something else?
Yes, I think it was a Soviet passport. I was unashamedly left-wing, not actively, but you know, my views were left-wing views. Some of the tutors were informers. A lot of the undergraduates, one of the people in charge of my case was a fellow undergraduate at my college and a friend of mine. I'm going to his funeral tomorrow.
And what did he do?
Well, he was in MI5. But when the point came, when all this came to the boil, I rang him up. I found out where he was, and he was shocked by what had happened. And he said, I'll do everything to help. And I think he was as good as his word. He's a good man. So all that, 3 years and 8 months, resulted not in a liberation and a release and an opening up of horizons and opportunities, but in a Kafkaesque situation. I described it as McCarthyism in white gloves.
And that was in 61 that you got the nationality?
No, I got my passport in 67, I think, 66, 67, British passport. And there was nothing in my file, nothing. They wouldn't have given me a passport if there had been anything, any connection. I never had any connection. The idea of spying or doing anything or subversion would not have occurred to me. I would have regarded it as obscene.
And did everything work out from then on?
Yeah, it was a bit too late to restructure the career I wanted. I wanted to be I groomed myself at Oxford for one job only. Far Eastern correspondent. It would have taken me a year to master Japanese. I used to speak Japanese. Chinese I had, Russian I had. And I'm a good writer. And also, I see things in the Far East that people who are not acclimatized as I have been, culturally acclimatized, fail to see. I'm enormously observant. And I understand what happens in China and Japan. So that was a great lack in my life. And I think the irony situation, having fought for the British, having spent 3 years and 8 months in the prison of war camp, I paid for it with 16, 17 years in the wilderness.